Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Chusav, the Oyer Shivas Yom, the Tzinik Hadisha, the Holy Candle, the Holy Light. Tana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I welcome everybody here together with us. I want to begin by thanking two people who really made it possible for us to be in this place, which is much more comfortable. I know for me, I spent 18 years of my life, the first 18 years of my life in a place like this. And to have more room, and it should be in the best way. So I thank Sarah Weiss, Sarina Weiss, and Rabbi Yitzchak Mordechai Feder for making the arrangements with the school, for enabling us to be here. And whoever is in the school that takes care of these things, that cooperated and helped, Ben Shebein Bris or Ben Sheeno Ben Bris, it's appreciated. And I want to thank, of course, Eitan, Nochi, Shloimi, Avi, Tony, right? Adir, the Chevra for coming into and making it Labor Day and beautiful. We should be Zeichim Mitzvah Hashem to be able to sing these songs in Meiron, in Eretz Yisrael, soon.
Amen.
I want to thank the Chevra from Shul, Chaim Elio, and the rest of the Chevraim for working and putting things together. Hashem Yisboruch, Ha'hoid v'hadol v'vanav, Oyez v'ched v'vim kaimah. The union of Hoyd, of the time that we're in now, Hoyd Sheba Hoyd, is to be thankful, to be grateful. You know this remarkable thing, how the generations pass, and over the course of the years, the Kedusha of Lag BaOmer is becoming more and more and more revealed, more open. Those of us who are over 40 can't remember really in Chutz Laaretz, Bechlal. I remember I once went, there was a Rebbe that took us to Borough Park and we were stolen over there. There was maybe 60 people, 50, 60 people, the whole place, I'm talking about the whole Borough Park. The two Yom Tovim that we have that revolve entirely around light, fire and light. And they're the two last Yom Tovim that preserve us, that hold us, until Mashiach will come. It's Chanukah and Lag BaOmer. Now Chanukah, you know, the Koishi Chanukah is mentioned in the Mishnah. Agav, in the Mishnah of Bava Kama, it's not even the main point of the Mishnah. And then later on, in the Gemara, there's already more. It's a beautiful sugi and Shabbos that we all learn every year Chanukah, before, after Chanukah. Then afterwards, as the generations passed, and once we get to the Rambam, Tur, Shulchan Aruch, the halachas of Chanukah are like inflating and expanding and expanding, unbelievable. Then we get to the Drush and the Agadah, and then Kabbalah and Chassidus, and Chanukah is bigger than anything. And it's what's happening with Lag BaOmer as well. It's one of the Nisim. It's one of the miracles of Lag BaOmer. It's one of the greatest proofs of the truth of Rabbi Shimon, of the truth of the light of the Zohar HaKadosh. How the light of Lag BaOmer, the fire, the lights are increasing. We have to connect our minds and our hearts with Hamoin Beis Yisrael, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jews who are in Meiron. And Jews all over the world who are lighting fires. And one fire connects to the other fire, and one candle to the other candle, and brings us to the Tzion of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lozer, and brings us to Meiron. But it's clear that as the generations pass, and we're getting closer and closer to Mashiach Tzidkenu, the light of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is growing brighter and brighter. The light of Rabbi Shimon of the Butzina Kadisha is growing stronger and stronger. The fire is stronger than ever before. Oirei Shel Mashiach, the light of Mashiach Tzidkenu. The Rebbe Reb Pinchas Karatzer brought down in Emor Pinchas that the Rebbe Reb Pinchas Karatzer would be moided to Hashem Yisbarach, choyed, would always give thanks to Hashem Yisbarach for living in the generation where we already know, where he already knew of the Zohar HaKadosh. And Jews are speaking about the secrets of Torah. So first of all, what an unbelievable schus we have to live now. And I know that everybody's thinking it's very, very hard to live now. And the nisyonos at the end of time are unbearable. And there are many, many casualties. Most of us walked into this building limping, crawling. There are a lot of casualties. What a schus we have that we're living at the end of time. It's hard, but it's so good. The Rebbe of Baruch Meshbitzer, the Baal Shem Tov's grandson, on Lag BaOmer, he would make a seam of the Zohar Kodesh. He would make a seam of the Zohar. And he would dance for many, many hours. And the whole time he was holding the Zohar. He was holding the Zohar Kodesh and he was kissing it and he was screaming out, Ich ken dich, du kennst mich. I know you, and you know me. Ani makir oyscha v'ata makir oysi. Ich ken dich, du kennst mich. We know each other. So when people like us come here, the last Lag BaOmer before Mashiach comes, so when we come together, we're afraid. We don't have to say, Rabbi Shimon, we know you. We don't have to say so. Rabbi Baruch Meshbitzer said, I know you and you know me. We can't say such things. How can we say, I know you, Rabbi Shimon? The Hasoga of Rabbi Shimon. And you know me. The Rabbi Shimon knows us, that's for sure. But we know a lot more about Rabbi Shimon than we think. So let's learn for a few minutes. Eschus, that's the time of Mlava Malka. It seems to me like Lag BaOmer has been... Matzah Shabbos for the last 20 years or so. I don't know. So, at least last year, I think it was. I saw an unbelievable ha'ara from one of the great mashbim of the generation who was zeichet to have in the shul different times, and that I'm zeichet to have a kesher with Rav Kluger, Zal Gazon Zayn. You know, the most unbelievable ha'aras are the ones that are so obvious. But you never think, you never realize. It takes a big person to pay attention, to see. We find that there were certain tzaddikim. Now listen, Davke, those tzaddikim who were responsible for the biggest giluyim, revelations of Oirei Shel Mashiach, of the light of Mashiach, of the light of the hidden Torah, the light of Torah. That these tzaddikim tavke were fugitives. They had to run for their lives. They had to escape and run away. Sometimes they were in jail. Sometimes they were hiding in caves. David HaMelech, before David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, who brought us the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was a fugitive. Moshe Rabbeinu ran for his life. He ran to Midian. Midian's not a good place. Moshe Rabbeinu ran away. He had to escape. David Malka Mashiach had to run from his own son. He had to run away from Avshalom, who was trying to kill him. He had to run away from the person who he loved, Shaul HaMelech, who was trying to kill him. He had to hide a cave, some place in Midbar Yehuda, Samalach HaNafsh. Eliyahu Novi had to run for his life also. He was hiding in a mountain, a cave. And Yizevel, everybody's trying to kill him. Well, then Divya Sheker, the king and the queen. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had to run away from the Romans. There was a price on his head. These tzaddikim davke, the tzaddikim would bring the biggest giluyim. Many, many years later, the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, Zechus Gilyon, other tzaddikim, the Nisim from Chabad, and other tzaddikim that sat in jail, they had to run. The Baal HaTanya, how he had to run away from, they run away from the French, who were trying to kill him. Even the last Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechus Gilyon, you know, there was a time of his life that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was in Berlin. It's a very, very mysterious time. And there are more biographies coming out about the Rebbe every day. But that time that he was there is really shrouded in mystery. We have a few little stories. You know, Lubavitchers know how to drink. Most of them. There are some. There must be a few that can't, but most of them. I mean the men, not the women. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe Efrat is known that he was able to hold his liquor in a way that's not b'derech hatev. Simchas Torah and Purim. He was making l'chaims for hours and hours and full glasses of vodka. And there was no change at all that anybody could see. So I saw that when he was in Berlin, there he was very, very, very hidden. He had a last name that Schneerson was very hard. It's a famous family. And there were some people that knew that this is the son-in-law of the Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe. But he hardly spoke. He was very quiet. He kept to himself. But on Purim, it says on one year on Purim, Ketoyv Lev HaMelech B'Yayim. So Lubavitcher Rebbe got up on a chair on the street in Berlin and began to darshan, began to teach, which is very, very strange. I'm from him and in that place at that time, and Jews gathered around, the Jewish students were gathered around. Now that was illegal to do in Berlin. Any kind of public preaching was illegal, especially if it's a Jew. And Lubavitcher Rebbe was taken off. He was arrested and was taken to jail. And I read that there were very few people that he knew personally there, but one of the people that he knew was Rabbi Yosef Ben Soloveitchik. He was my Rebbe. And Rabbi Yosef Ben had some sort of a connection, and they called Rabbi Yosef Ben to please come help, and he was the one who bailed out the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And when he took care of it with the police, whatever he had to do, Rav Soloveitchik says, now that you sat in jail, you could take be a rabbi. you now are qualified to be one of the Lubavitcher rabbis. What is this in you? Davke, those who are neshamas, Balei Soid, the deepest secrets, these tzaddikim, changed everything. There's a side. Those who learn the Svarma Kadoshim are familiar with this. We find that in the Zohar Kodesh and in the Kisrei Ha'ari, the same way that in order for a person to come into this world, he had to pass through that time in his mother's womb, the period of pregnancy, of gestation, that he had to pass through the time that's called Ibur. In order to be born, Leida, his birth, and then to be nursed, Yanika. So the same way that a person comes into the world, into the physical world, through that time, the very, very, very traumatic and painful passage from that place of Ibur into this world of Leida. So we find in the Zohar Kodesh, and it's expanded in the Kisrei Ha'ari, Hu Hadin, that it's the same when it comes to giving birth to a new way of thinking, to giving birth to Moichin and Midas. In order to give birth to the side of who one is, to the deeper secret of oneself, one must pass through a time of Ibur, Leida, pregnancy, the birth, the Yanika. This is referred to in this form as Ibur Sheni, the second period of being in the womb. Any time that a person needs to come to another madrega, and even though the person himself or herself does not feel prepared, and even though the person might feel settled and comfortable in the present state that he or she is in, when the time comes and the Borei Olam wants that person to come to a high madrega, a new madrega, a different madrega, to give birth to moichin, to thoughts and midas, feelings that are deeper and richer and greater than before, the person must, in order for it to be real, the person must pass through a period of time that's called Ibur Sheni. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai went to hide in a cave. Not only that, the cave itself, it's karka, which is nogeh to different halachas, nirdeya, burial, and so on. That a cave is the earth. But we know that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar, they would spend the entire day buried up to their heads in the ground. And there, the deepest, deepest secrets of Torah, Razan Daraisa, Nishmasa Daraisa, was taking shape and form. The unfathomable minds and hearts of those two tzaddikim, Nibur Sheni in the karka, in the earth. And just like the baby, the fetus is in the mother's womb, and just like the baby eats and drinks in that place of the womb during the first Ibur, And a malach comes there to teach Torah to the baby inside the mother, so too Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was in the ground, in Mother Earth. Earth is Malchus, is the woman, is Isha Karka Olam. Those who are familiar with the Sugya in Ksubis and other places, Isha Karka Olam, the mother is the soil, is the ground, in which the child develops and grows, the fetus develops and grows. And just as the fetus is eating and drinking in that place, there was a miracle that happened in Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was able to drink from a mayan, from a wellspring that Hashem brought to a place where there was no water. And Hashem brought a tree, a chorev tree of carobs that grew miraculously suddenly in that place. And Elio Malach Habris would come regularly to teach Torah to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar. And just like the Gemara tells us in Nida, that inside the womb, the fetus, there's a ner doluk al roisha, there's a candle lit upon his head. And the baby is gazing from one end of the universe to the other. So too Rabbi Shimon, the Botsina Kadisha, the holy light, was sitting in Mother Earth, Isha Karka Oila, Malchus. And Elio Malach HaBris would come to teach him Torah, and the candle was lit, and the fire of Rabbi Shimon was burning. In that period of Ibur Sheni, Umabit Misoifa Oilam Va'ad Soifa, and the eyes of Rabbi Shimon were gazing from one end of the universe to the other. And in that cave, they were born the secrets of Torah, Razan Daraisa Oiro Shel Mashiach. The light of Mashiach was born in that cave. During the 12/13 years, 13 Midas Rachman, in the Rechem, in the womb of the cave, Tzmosei Shabbos, David Malkim Mashiach, David HaMelech, B'baruchum b'nei Avsholom b'noi. So David HaMelech runs away from Avsholom and from Shaul. And David HaMelech goes through Ibur Sheni, the difficulties, the pain of that second gestation, of that second period of time. And what came out from David HaMelech's hiding, from the imprisonment, from the running, from the status of being a fugitive, from the pain and the difficulties, there came out the Malchus of Mashiach, came out from David HaMelech. Oyrei Shel Mashiach, Tehillim, the Kapitluch of Tehillim that change our lives, that save our lives. Those are the Kapitluch in the caves, by the mountains, by the desert of Yehuda. Nafshi v'sicha b'layla. Keili, keili, lama zavtoni. Rochem yishuasi divrei shahagosi. From the pain and the difficulties and the suffering in the caves, Malchus, Malchus HaMashiach, Oirish HaMashiach was born. You know that after Rabbi Shimon came out, and Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yorah was rinsing him, was washing his back, and his entire back was broken with horrible wounds and welts. And Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yorah couldn't hold himself back. He said, Oyli Shiri Yisicha Bekach. Oyli, I can't believe that I'm seeing you like this. Oyli Shiri Yisicha Bekach. So you remember a few minutes ago I said, the Rabbi Shimon knows us. We don't feel that we know him. But Rabbi Shimon knows us. And Rabbi Shimon knows, just as his Creator knows, Nasa Adam Nema Bavarecha, and Rabbi Shimon knows how you and I, in our lives, each one in a different way, and many of the Chevru are here, I know, and we've shared stories over the years. Not just of an Ibur Sheni, of an Ibur Sheni, but a Shlishi, and a Revi, and a Chamishi, and a Shishi. How many times? How many caves? The There are people here who I know who are living and happy and working and learning and raising families. And there's a little bit of something, of a feeling that's not so right. The head's not feeling so great. Something's wrong. Just go to the doctor and stop, it's nothing. And the doctor says, I want you to have this test or that test, to go for a CAT scan, to go for an MRI. Of course, it's nothing. Everybody says it's nothing. Because the results come back from the CAT scan or the MRI. And you need to take another test and this test. And you're looking at the face of the doctor to see that everything is okay. And oh, it's, now it's just this virus. It's nothing. It happens a lot. It's a clinicite. Nothing. But the doctor doesn't have that look. And then there's some more tests, and the doctor says, it's important that we have a conversation, and it's important that you come together with your wife, come with your husband. And there are others who are sitting here who live in homes where you have pictures all over the mantels, the fireplaces, the children, and how beautiful, and how lichtig, and how innocent. And then, sometimes it's a boy, it's more often a boy, sometimes it's a girl, a little bit after the time that the pimples start to show. Now it's happening even earlier, and it begins this way. Sometimes this one doesn't want to dress that way. Sometimes this one says, I'm not going back to the yeshiva. This one makes sure to get thrown out of the yeshiva when the parents don't let him out of the yeshiva. And then that child who was so innocent and so sweet drags the parents into a cave, into a place of immeasurable pain. I know people here whose children are Mechalel Shabbos, who are eating the Velis and Trefis. Then marriages, chas and kala under the chuppah, pictures, albums, inseparable. And then a few years pass, nowadays sometimes a few months. They already began to live in the cave while they were married. And then they can't live anymore in the same cave because they're torturing each other. And they're being tortured. Then he goes to his cave and she goes to her cave. People like Parnassa who are giving and giving and giving, whose greatest pleasure was writing more checks and more to give to other people to help everybody. In all areas of life, running, fugitives, people who are proud who can't pay their bills, getting hundreds of calls from yeshivas, from the moedas, and bills. What all of these people are asking, Loma Asa Hashem Kacha, why did Hashem Yisbarach do this to me? Things were going very, very well. Nachori Ha'af HaGadol Hazeh, what's Hashem so angry about that he sent me into such a cave in my life, that I'm going through such suffering? And naturally, those who learned in yeshivas have very little else to refer to. They take out their notebooks. Usually the largest section of the notes is called Mida Keneged Mida. And Mida Keneged Mida means that because you're bad and you must have done something terrible, that's why you're being punished. Now there is such an inyan as mida keneged mida, but it's really, really overrated. There is an inyan like that. But Baruch Hashem, those who are drinking from the fountain, from the spring that was outside the cave of Rabbi Shimon, and were able to look with the histaklus plimis, or of Cook calls hamistaklim ha'elyoinim, those who are able to look at things in a deeper way know that even though we always have to try to become better, and we have to go to tzaddik and we have to ask if there's something in our lives that seems to, in some way, to correspond to something that's going on in the cave, something that's wrong. We have to try to understand. But the stakles apnimis rabbi says something else. The stakles apnimis to look with the eyes of Rabbi Shimon, to look in a deeper way, means that you know, you understand, you believe that it's not only Moshe Rabbeinu that ran and that was hiding. It's not only David HaMelech that was running, that was in terrible pain and had to spend a period of his life, the Ibush Sheini, in the second gestation, a second time going through the trauma of birth. Bar Yochai, Moshe Tov Yoshavto, Yoim Nasta Yoim Asher Barachto. Bar Yochai, Moshe Tov Yoshavto. We're going to sing in a few minutes. Bar Yochai, you sat, Moshe Tov Yoshavto. How would you like to sit in such a place, in such a way? Moshe Tov Yoshavto. If the temperature in this room would be 10 degrees higher, there'd be half the people here right now. Moshe Tov Yashavta. Bar Yochai, Moshe Tov Yashavta. Yoim Nasta. When you ran away. Yoim Asher Barachta, when you escaped from the Romans. The Ma'orois Surim Shamadata. The Ma'orois Surim Shamadata. Sham Kaniso Hoidcho Vahadarecho. In that cave of rocks, Bemoros Tsum, sharp rocks, Bemoros Tsum, in that place where you became physically deformed, where your body was ripped into a million pieces, where you were separated from everybody who you loved, where you felt completely, completely alone, in that place, Bemoros Tsum, Sham Adata. In that time of your life, Rabbi Shimon, when you went through another time of pregnancy, of birth, when you were sent deep into the womb of Mother Earth, deep into that place of karka, into that place of isha karka olam, into the world of malchus, and the gestation, the pregnancy of the deepest, deepest, deepest secrets of Torah, of Torah's Hashem. The Morus Surim and the Morus Sumer of your life, that Hashem put you in because the time had come for the secrets that you had inside of yourself that you never knew you had inside of yourself, that you could never have imagined were inside of you. The lights that would light up the entire world, the candles that would burn and prepare the world for Mashiach Tzidkenu, were inside of you, Rabbi Shimon. But you had to be sent into the darkness of that cave. You had to go through a time of not knowing, of not being. You had to go through that period of running and of hiding, in order that the side of Rabbi Shimon should be able to be born. And the Ishbitz is Svarim, especially in Said Yishar from the Heilige Radzina, from Abgeish and Hanachal. Those tzaddikim have their own way of expressing things. The Svarim of Ishbitz and Radzina are just different. And the way that they learn psukim is different. The pasuk is in Kehelis. And Shlomo Melech says, Re'isi es kol achayim amahalchim tachas ha-shemesh. Shlomo Melech says, I have seen all the living. Re'isi es kol achayim amahalchim tachas ha-shemesh. I have seen all of the living wandering under the sun. Wandering under the sun. But there's somebody else, he says. You remember who? Again, Re'isi es kol achayim amahalchim tachas ha-shemesh. Im hayeled hasheni asheyamoy tachtov. Im hayeled hasheni, who is this second child? Re'isi es kol achayim amahalchim tachas ha-shemesh. There are millions and millions of people who are wandering under the sun, living in that same shallow, empty, superficial life that just came about because of the mother's first giving birth to them, and they just went on naturally through those years. And Shlomo Melech says, "Re'isi es kol achayim amahalchim tachas ha-shemesh, im hayeled hasheni asheyamay tachtov." But Shlomo Melech, the son of David, Malchim Mashiach, the continuation of Malchus and Mashiach, of Eirush and Mashiach, Shlomo Melech says, "Im hayeled hasheni asheyamay tachtov." There's a second child. There's a yeled hasheni. Ashiyamay tachtav, who is arising, who will take the place of that first child. And you and I have gone through those periods of being children, of being born, of being babies. And many of you and myself and all of us now in different ways through our lives have gone through difficulties. And either we come out the Yelad Hasheni, the second child, the Moros Surim Hashemadata, Sham Kanisa, there you acquired Haidcha Vadarecha, all of your splendor and glory. Either we come out Hayelad Hasheni, or God forbid we remain Mahalchim Tachas Hashemesh, like the rest of those who are alive wandering under the sun, complaining and screaming and yelling about the suffering and the difficulties, not believing that there's something called Ibur Sheni, being born to a higher madrega, that the moichin and the midas remains tiny and infantile and small. But those who believe in the Ibur Shem, those who believe in Rabbi Shem, those who believe in Teres Moshe, in the pnimius of Teres Moshe, in David HaMelech, in the Moshem HaKadosh, in all the tzaddikim, those who believe in pnimius, know that Davke and that Ma'ara, when you're going through that time in the cave, when you're in the cave, you believe 1,000,000% that there's a side, there's a secret inside of you that must be brought out. It's the purpose of your creation. And if not, you'll have to come again and again and again into the world. Khalil. When the neshama itself was sent down from Shemayim, can we be masik the pain? We don't understand the pain that the neshama goes through coming into the guf. The first Ibur, the Sfarim say that's one of the reasons the Indian of Avishalom Zocha is to give nechama. Like everybody's coming, the men are drinking some beer and eating some arbis, and the baby, if the baby is this thing, it's easy for you to have an appetite. It's easy for you to be enjoying yourselves. The mother with the baby, they're both sitting, it's a brach and it's a glap, it's a hark. And the men are enjoying themselves like shooting peanuts at each other. Which is how most of life goes. And if the baby could speak, the baby would say, "You have no idea what I've just been through. You wouldn't believe what I've been through." To come into the world. In the same way that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is saying to this baby, to this neshama, go. Tzi'ilach b'ikvei hatzayim. Uri'is g'dayisah g'dayisah. Go into the world. From that place, from the place of Levonoin, from that highest, highest place, to come into the guf, into the body, into the cave of this world. And yet, everybody says Mazel Tov. Everybody says Mazel Tov. And the feeling is, the understanding is, the awareness is, that somehow this is something good, this is something great that's just happened. So each one of us, when we go through those difficulties, each one of us wonders, how long is this Eber going to last? A baby inside the mother, you know, sometimes it's Shalzayin, so it's a baby 7 months, full term 9 months. When the doctor miscalculated, then the doctor says, no, this is taking a couple of extra weeks, but it's 9 months. But when it comes to the Eber Sheini that you and I go through, and I know there are so many here that are going through right now, when it comes to the Eber Sheini, it can go on for months and months and months, and go on for many years. And we don't know, Ad Mosai, because Hashem is Baruch measures for each and every person exactly how long it has to be. And a lot of it depends on the person's emunah and the person's davening, and the person, what the person needs to learn with the malach, with Elionavi, malach abris during that time. Until the person is able to see misayf alamat saif, to see to the ends of his world, and to know that there's something greater that I'm ready to do. I'm finally ready to do this. But when the baby's born, everybody says Mazel Tov. And everybody understands that it was kedai for the baby to go through this. And I know many couples that they didn't really want to have, they weren't ready to have another child. And I try always to give chizik and to say, wait, you'll see when you'll meet the baby, it'll be okay. And a lot of people say, no, we don't want this. This is terrible, and we can't deal with this, and we can't afford this baby. And we're having enough problems taking care of the other kids, and this baby is going to bring only bad mazel, and there's no good, there's no good, there's no good. They say, wait, you didn't meet the child yet. The yelad hasheni. You already dislike this child, you never met him yet. But that somehow, in some way, the baby comes, Mazel Tov, and it's kedai. So chever, here we are. And as I say, only on Motzei Shabbos I say this, I know that it's very, very late, but traditional ones between us, you know that you're up much later on Motzei Shabbos than this. So I don't feel that bad. So what do we daven for on Lag BaOmer? There are a lot of things to daven for. What do we daven for on Lag BaOmer? On Lag BaOmer, a Jew asks for this. One of the things that we're asking for. Avi, Avi. Tyre attacked in him. Dear Father in heaven, help me, give me emunah to know that all I'm going through is a soid mufla, is a deep secret. Rabbi Shimon knows that this is a secret. I don't know. But Rabbi Shimon knows. And Rabbi Shalom, you know the secrets of my life. So first of all, Rabbi Shalom, I'm asking you on Lag BaOmer. I'm asking you to help me believe that what I'm going through is a very, very deep soid. That what's happening in my life is the Ibur Sheini, is the second Ibur, the pregnancy, the gestation, in order that something much greater will be born, a greater marriage, a greater panasa, a greater parent, a greater friend, a greater Jew that's ready to be born, that needs to go through this time in the cave, in the womb, that hurts. And Rabbi Shlom, I'm asking you to help me come through this second time that's preparing me to be a Yelad Sheini. I'm asking that I should become closer to you. I'm asking you to help me to be Megala, another piece of your covet, of your greatness in this world. The same way we daven when
We daven when we're waiting for the baby to be born, and when the mother is in that time of giving birth and labor, that may this baby be healthy and well. May the baby's eyes shine with your Torah. May our eyes shine with your Torah. May this baby that's being born be another ashtikel kvod shamayim, a piece of kvod shamayim, a piece of something better into the world, to give you more and more nachas ruach. May this child that's coming into the world be a child that brings Mashiach closer. Nach ashtikel oyres of Mashiach, another piece of Mashiach's light, another piece of truth, another piece of a holy Jewish child that's coming into the world. May I also be such a person when I'm born this time. I'm asking Rabbi Shalom, help me, that I should be able to live in such a way, b'nekudas ha-soid, in this place that's called soid, the secret. Because the Olam HaNigla, the world that I see in front of my eyes, the world that is open to me, that I'm looking at, the world that I'm living in physically, is a world that's hard, that's bitter, that's difficult. It's a cave-like existence. And I'm begging you to help me believe in the sight. And I'm asking you, Rabbi Shalom, help me, that the Olam HaNigla, the world that I'm living in that's so dark and that's so difficult, and that we're all living in now that's so dark and difficult, that there's so many here, there's so many Jews in the world now who feel so disgusting and filthy because of what's going on with all the technology and all the things that are screaming and staring at everybody in the streets now. And those nights and those times that some of you here know that you're in that cave, when the doors are closed and the lights are out, except for one light that's shining on your face, but it's a light that's the darkest, darkest light that ever was since the Gehenna that was created at the time of creation. That light of something impure that's shining on your face when the lights are out everywhere else, and you're in that womb and you feel that I can never become better. I'll never be the Yelid Sheni. I'm doomed to remain in this cave, in this filth, in the disgusting, bloody filth of this womb, of the cave that I'm in. Rabbi Shalom, help me, help all of us to believe that the ugly world that we're living in now, that this ugliness of the world now, that somehow, in some way, there'll be a hamtaka of this bitterness, and that even in this world there should be a little bit of galeni, obigalusi, legaleni, in this world. And then we turn and we say, Rabbi Shimon, but seen in the Hira Kadisha, holy candle, holy light. I'm asking you to plead to Hashem that I should be allowed to have a little bit of your way of seeing things. That I should be able to have a little bit of your patience. I should have a little bit of your eyes, a little bit of your fire, a little bit of your warmth during these last cold days of Golus. It says in the Zohar HaKadosh that Eliyahu HaNavi came to visit Rabbi Shimon in the cave. And Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rabbi Shimon, I'm translating, it's the translation from the Aramaic, and Eliyahu HaNavi says, Kum Rabbi Shimon. And we have to hear Eliyahu HaNavi saying those words to us when you're sitting in that dark place. Kum Moshe, Kum Yaakov, Kum Sarah, Kumi Sarah, Kumi Rachel, Hisnari, Meofer, Livshi, Bigde, Uzech. It says in the Zohar, Kum Rabbi, and Leonovi came and said, Kum Rabbi Shimon, Ashrei Chelkecha, Shekash Boch, Roitze, Bekvaycha. You think you're disgusting, you think you're nothing. You look at yourself in this horrible situation you're in. And Leonovi comes and says to you, Kum, Ashrei Chelkecha, how great is your portion, how happy you should be. You're a Jew. Shekash Boch, Roitze, Bekvaycha. And the Baruch Shalom wants your covet. The Baruch Shalom is putting you through this so you should become greater. B'maras Surim Shamadata. And you were able to pass the Nisyonis. You were able to try to make yourself strong. You thought that you were failing. You made yourself your fort. You're strong. Come out of the cave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Koincha, Roitze, Bekvaycha. He wants your covet. He wants you to have a covetic life. And Eliyahu HaNavi finished and said to him, to Rabbi Shimon, Kol Havtochis V'Anachomis Yisrael K'suvim B'Klolis. Today we read the curses in Parshas B'Chukoisa of what it means for Jews to be in caves. Kol Havtochis V'Anachomis. Elinovi says to Rabbi Shimon, all of the promises that Hashem ever made, all of the Havtochis, and Kol HaNechomis, all of the Nechomis of Hashem, are written in the klolos, are written in the curses. They're all in that place. It's davka by you going through these klolos, davka what you've gone through has made you ready to be born. B'moras surim shomadat Hashem kanisa hoicha v'adarecha. So we ask Rabbi Shlom, Malach Boim, Rabbi Shlom, help us believe. Help me believe. That you want not only Rabbi Shimon's covet, that you also want my covet. Help me to believe that the klolos of my own life, of our lives, that in those klolos that are hidden, that are concealed, the soidus, the deepest secrets of all of the haftachas and all of the nechamas that Hashem ever promised to our people. Somebody once asked the Blues of a Rebbe, Slusi Yelaino, who I was lucky to see many times. Somebody once asked the Blues of a Rebbe, the question that I mentioned this morning by the Drasha this morning in Shul, why is it that after the parasha of the Teichach of all the curses, why is it that after that parasha, Davke comes the parasha of the Erchin, of the Arochin, where the person's life is being evaluated? What's the connection between the curses and the evaluation of the person where the money is evaluated according to his worth and given to the Beis HaMikdash? What's the connection between those two parashias? So somebody asked the Holy Blues of a Rebbe, what's the connection between those two parashias? So you know what the Blues of Rebbe went through? The Blues of Rebbe went through the Holocaust. He is one of the few tzaddikim that spoke openly about it all the time. And the Blues of Rebbe said this. He said, when I was in concentration camp, I saw Jews who spent the entire day working, starving. I saw Jews who were being beaten to a pulp, Jews who are beaten, degraded, and humiliated all day long, starving. Jews whose families were killed. And at the end of the day, there was still a little bit of light left. The Blues of Rebbe said the sun hadn't yet set. And I saw with my own eyes, Jews, these same Jews, waiting online, because there was somebody who had a tefillin shel yad, one tefillin shel yad. And I saw these Jews waiting online to put on that tefillin shel yad after such a day. So the Blues of it said, I want to tell you, I saw them with my own eyes, the Teichacha. I myself lived through it. And I saw other Jews who lived through the Teichacha, through every curse, and more than the curses that are written in Sefer Torah HaZeh. And I learned this, that if you want to know what you're worth, if you want to know how valuable you are, if you want to know how meaningful your life is, if you want to know what price is there in your life, who are you? It's who you are and how your faith continues to exist and grow even stronger. In the Ma'aros Surim, in the cave of concentration camp. And if you want to know why is it that the parasha of Arochin, of the value of a human being, is after that parasha of the Teichacha, because then you can see who you really are. Then you understand the soid, the value of your life, and the meaning of your life, of your existence. And some of you have heard from me, I've spoken about it in the past on rare occasions, but I grew up in a home. My father's old gazunzai, my mother, my father had the only tefillin in Mauthausen. And I heard these stories from my father himself. My father had the only tefillin in Mauthausen that he knew of. And every day there were hundreds of Tzibroch and Eden. Hundreds of Jews. Most of whom were killed al Kiddush Hashem. Hundreds of Jews that would put on, they would come over there to say, the tefillin, they were fighting, my father, they were grabbing the tefillin. They were fighting for the tefillin. Like for a piece of bread. So how long does this pregnancy last? The Navi says, "Berega kotoin azavtich, uberachmim gedoyla makabzeich." The Navi Yishai says, "Berega kotoin azavtich, I left you only for a moment, not just a moment, a short moment. Uberachmim gedoyla makabzeich, but with great rachmim I'll bring you back to me." So one of the tzaddikim asked, "Berega kotoin azavtik mepchazgel san." I saw the sefer. He asked, "Berega kotoin azavtik? For a brief moment, God abandoned us. For a moment, He left us." So Mepchazgel said, "A moment." He said, "The Inquisition was a moment. The pogroms were a moment. The Holocaust was a moment." And Mepchazgel gave a deep, deep krech, but he said, and he said this, but he says, "Oy, Rabbi Shlom, if you describe all of that misery as a moment, then when you said at the end of the pasuk, 'Berachmim gedolim akabzech ve'eveis,' who could imagine what the rachmim gedolim, oy, what a rachmim gedolim, what it's going to be like when this whole business is finished? If that whole thing, that all of that zerega kotain, a small moment, or the rachmim gedolim akabzech that we're waiting for, Rabbi Shlom." Hashem Yisbok should help. That these last moments of that rega kotoin should finally end. And that all the clothes we should be changed into brachas. And that each and every one of us that somehow managed to hold on and to remain faithful during these years of the Morris Surum of our existence, where the earlier tzaddikim are going to be in this fall, they're going to look at us and say they can't, they never saw such Jews like this generation. I had a thought the other day, you know, I'm always down on this business of people davening from the machines. I detest that whole Indian of davening from the thing. But I tried to see it in a better way with the stockless pneumis, and I said, the guy has a machine and he still wants to daven. It's a gewaltige thing. Even though he has this thing, it's amazing that this person has a thing. I don't know how a person has such a thing and he still davens. I don't own such a thing and I'm having a hard time davening. I don't know how you could own that and still doubt it. So now I have a different way. I'm trying to be mechazik myself. That when I see the person going like that, and he's taking the thing, he's davening from that. I was upset. The same machine has all different things on it. How could you daven from that? What are you davening from such a thing? But he's still davening. Even with that, he's still davening. B'chol zay shim chaloy shachachnu, no al tishkachenu, that we should be zeiche berega kotein, in a tiny moment, but not the moment that all of Golis, mamish the moment, to see the light of Rabbi Shimon, to see the light of all the tzaddikim, to see the kim of all the brachas, all of the avtachas, all of the nechamas, with the gula Hashem amitish, mehem yamein amein v'amein. Amen.
Yeah. back to